Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We are currently drawing some lessons from the book of Obadiah, having studied it over the last several broadcasts, and now have a pretty good idea of the contents of this, the shortest book of the Old Testament, a book primarily about God's judgment upon Edom, but also upon principles of judgment which God uses for all the nations and indeed for individuals as well. But there are a lot of practical lessons that we can draw from this book if we are willing to look for them and have eyes to see and ears to hear. And we started out with some lessons about the deceitfulness of sin. We see that in Obadiah, particularly in the case of Edom, because they show how deceitful sin is and how it worked its deceit in their own hearts. It gave them a deceptive sense of entitlement, of thinking that they had the right to do things which God clearly said they did not have the right to do. And it demonstrated its degenerative power in that sin works in such a way that it always causes a downward slide. You can't entertain sin and coddle sin and pursue sin without it having a degenerative effect upon your life. The only safe thing to do is to confess it and forsake it. And when you do that, when you recognize your sin and confess it and forsake it, then its destructive power is removed. But when you justify it, when you defend it, when you protect it, when you harbor it, when you play with it, then it always has a destructive effect upon your soul, and indeed upon your life. And we saw that on the broadcast yesterday. But we want to move on to a third area in the deceitfulness of sin, and that is its deceptive capacity to blind. And that's where we're going on this Tuesday, May 26. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for your financial gifts that make it possible for us to teach on this station. Sin's deceptive capacity to blind. And that, I suppose, parallels some of the things we've already said, because the deceptive sense of entitlement certainly indicates a blindness, a spiritual blindness to the reality of what's taking place, and likewise the degenerative power of sin and its downward slide. It couldn't be so effective in taking people down a slippery slope to destruction if they were not blinded to what is actually going on. But I think it's worthwhile to mention this separately and particularly, namely, that sin has an enormous capacity to bring blindness, and I'm talking, of course, about spiritual blindness, to men's souls. Now, you need to understand that the human condition includes spiritual blindness. And that is because of sin. That's one of the results of the fall. That's one of the results of the original sin in the Garden of Eden and the fact that all of us are born with sinful natures. And that's why we are told in 1 Corinthians 2:14 that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They are foolishness unto him because they are spiritually discerned. And that's describing spiritual blindness. Truth that seems very clear and obvious to a regenerate person can be totally unclear and obscure to an unregenerate person. The natural man doesn't have the capacity to understand that truth, and it is sin that has blinded his eyes to that. But you see, there are different degrees of blindness. And some have a milder form of blindness than others. And when sin is pursued, when it is engaged, when it is protected, harbored, and pursued, then the condition of blindness gets worse and worse. It's kind of like, well, we measure degrees of blindness in terms of, a person has 20/20 vision, that's considered to be perfect. If their vision is 20/200, that's considered to be really, really bad. In fact, I've forgotten some of the figures now, but I suspect that 20/200 would probably be considered legally blind. If I'm wrong about that, feel free to correct me, but I tend to think that that's so. But a person who is legally blind may not be completely blind, may not be totally blind. Legally blind means they can't see well enough to be given a driver's license, and there are other factors that have a bearing in their life and may have some legal issues involved, and certainly some social issues, and maybe some welfare issues, some disability issues, all kinds of things that may be involved. If a person loses a certain degree of eyesight but still can see some things. Remember, the man in the scriptures was only one example of this, but one blind man that Jesus healed. And I'm trying to think what he did. He rubbed his eyes, or he did something. He applied something to his eyes. I've forgotten the exact details. And then asked him if he could see, and he said, well, I can see men like trees walking. In other words, he couldn't see clearly. Now he was no longer blind in the fact that he couldn't see at all. He was seeing something, but he still wasn't seeing clearly. And so then Christ anointed him with a second application, and then his eyesight cleared up and he could see clearly. And then he was seeing 20/20. Well, what I'm talking about is that when it comes to spiritual blindness, and of course what I've just described is physical blindness, but when it comes to spiritual blindness, there are degrees. And though all natural people, that is those who have not been born again, suffer from significant spiritual blindness, that blindness may get worse, and it will get worse if you toy with sin. Listen to these words in Matthew chapter 15. These are the words of Jesus. Then his disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? That goes back, well, we won't go back to that. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both of them will fall into a ditch. Sin is a condition that causes blindness that is even blinder than regular blindness, I guess is one way to put it. And maybe I'm not making myself clear enough in that passage, so let me turn to another one in Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 1. Let me read verses 18 and following. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now here is spiritual knowledge that a natural person not only can understand, but does understand at some point in their life. But we go on, because although they knew God, they had knowledge of God, some spiritual understanding, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They were darkened. Their refusal to receive the truth, which they did see and understand, rendered them incapable of further understanding. In fact, it removed from them the capacity to understand the truth which they formerly understood. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and so forth. Then you drop down to verse 28, and I'm reading from Romans chapter 1. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Do you see a judiciary blindness here? Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they had some knowledge of God, but rather than appreciating it, receiving it, acting upon it, using it to draw closer to God and to ask for more understanding and more light, they did just the opposite. They push it out of mind. They deny it. Even the truth that they have, they deny it. And what is the result of that? And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. God, who had been holding them and restraining them from going as far into spiritual blindness as they were capable of going, when they did not receive gratefully and believingly the knowledge of God which they had been given, they were turned over to a lower state of knowledge. They were turned over to a greater level of spiritual blindness. And so the Bible teaches us that active sin worsens the degree of blindness. It is possible to become more blind than you are. I don't know if my illustration about the person that sees things not clearly but can see a little bit is totally accurate in the case of spiritual truth or not. I'm not real positive about that, but I think it gets the point across. But this much is clear from Scripture, that every person in this world, not just born-again people, but every person in this world has been given some measure of the knowledge of God. That is very clear from Romans chapter 1. And yet, when that knowledge is rejected and suppressed and denied, then the knowledge which was there becomes less clear. It is withdrawn. So that active sin worsens the degree of blindness. And so what are we talking about? We're talking about the deceitfulness of sin and how sin is deceptive to give us a sense of entitlement that is entirely false. Sin has a degenerative power to send us on a downward slide, little by little by little. And sin also has the capacity to blind, to cause those who have some light to lose the light which they have. It's a dangerous thing. Don't toy with sin. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.